Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Be educated, be engaged, be empowered. My guest today is Ashley J. Dearborn. My co-host is Sandra Nelson. She and I will welcome you and introduce to so many others, Ashley J. Dearborn. Ashley, welcome to In the Know with Mo. You are live on the line.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you so much, ladies, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity this afternoon.
You're so welcome.
The opportunity to have you is all of ours because now that we are experiencing the shutdown and so many actors and actresses are like, what do we do now? We do the free online classes, the forums, the webinars,
yes.
But they still have so many questions about acting. And I know Ashley has been acting since she was 4 years old. She's a member of SAG, and she is an actress also. In addition to serving her own members, she is one of the labor leaders in Chicago and across the nation who advocates for workers' rights. So Ashley, tell our listening audience some things that you are doing and currently doing while we're on the shutdown.
Well, first of all, I am working on my craft because if you're an actor, you are acting every single day of your life. Now, what does that mean? Okay. First of all, there are tons, no matter where you are in the city, country, or world, there are online classes and seminars. Some of them are local, so your local acting schools are giving them. Some of them are nationwide. So say you're in Canton, Ohio, you can take an online seminar from a studio here in Chicago, something that normally you wouldn't have been able to do. Secondly, and this is very important, this is the time to get your self-taping apparatuses together. Everyone who is a serious actor, a wannabe actor, a middle-of-the-road actor should have the most amazing self-tape setup because now you have time. You have time to get that backdrop. You have time to get that tripod to put either your phone or your laptop or your tablet on. You have time to play with it to make sure you have the exact right angle so you are looking at the right, you know, you look best, okay? You have time to order that ring light. People, order that ring light, you know?
Yes.
You need to order it and make sure you have it. So there is no excuse to say, I cannot self-tape. Everyone should be a self-taping pro by the time we get out of this. So, yes, that's one thing. Another thing you need to be doing is no matter what medium you want to use, stage or screen, you should be reading plays, reading screenplays. Do you know that most scripts for movies and films and television shows are online? All you got to do is Google them. Google them. You know, and so there's a, you know, you can, it's, now is the time. Say you, there's a favorite role. Say you know that you could be Annalise in How to Get Away with Murder. Well, Google that script.
Yes.
Google that episode of that show that you, she had an amazing monologue. Google that episode of that show where she had an amazing monologue and learn it. Okay? That film that you know you could have played that role and won an Oscar. Google that film, get that script, learn that monologue. That's what
you know what
to be doing.
Now, Ashley, I want to tell you, there have been several roles that I was sure that I could get, and I think I shared this with you on a private conversation. But when I went for the audition, and I knew the lines, I had everything down to a tack, but my physical features did not blend and was not the part for the show. Even though I had everything down pat, my physical being, my physical looks did not, you know, so that's a problem too. You know, we now have the new language of ethnically ambiguous, you know, and so that put a stop to a lot of things that are people now are being labeled as ethnically ambiguous. So do I start looking for roles that are ethnically ambiguous instead of the roles that I know? I know I could be a street hustler, a ghetto mama, you know. But when I walk in, they say, I'm sorry.
Okay, and the answer is no. Okay, first of all, I'll just be really honest. When the writer and or the director writes a role, they write it for a certain person in type, a certain person in mind or a certain type in mind. I mean, the reality is for me, I'm a large, dark, black woman. Mm-hmm. If someone has written a role with Halle Berry in mind, I'm not going to get it. No matter how fabulous I can say those lines. That is my reality. But that's okay. I know, and nobody, if you wrote a role for Halle, you are not giving it to me. And I can live with that. I can definitely live for that with that. But say you wrote a role for Roseanne. So you wrote a role for a white woman. Any role that Roseanne can play, I can play. Any role, okay?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So, no, I would say yes. Look, you asked, should you be looking for racially or ethnically? We don't call it racially ambiguous. Ethnically ambiguous roles, you better believe it. You, in your repertoire, you should be able to show them that even though you are a fair-skinned African-American woman, you can be an Arab woman. You can be a Spanish woman or a Latinx or whatever you want to call it. You can be a Latinx woman. You can be a European woman. There are, you know, you can play a European woman. You can play an East African woman. Yes, you can.
You should also have those
accents in your repertoire,
right?
You know,
she gets I would only get two. One, you know, dark skin African American. She gets four. I try to explain that to her. You get more opportunities.
Anyone. You know, you can put. You know, and the accents are different. There's a difference between a Southeast Asian woman, or as we would call Indian woman from India. An Arab woman, a woman, say, from Morocco or Saudi Arabia, and know the difference between the accents so you can go in and do that. As I'm an African, okay, so as I said, I'm a dark-skinned African-American, but I can play, of course, a regular African-American, but there is not a Caribbean nation in this world that I cannot put together an accent for. There is not an African nation, you know, that I
can we play African? Can we play African?
Why
Since
not?
Since we are dark skinned? Right.
Why
That's
not?
Two.
Yes, we can.
It's coming all shady.
That's
true.
That's right.
You can listen. Yeah. And there are websites that you can go to online and Google to see what how their native accents sound, and you can practice. That's another thing you can be doing right now, practicing accents. And wait a minute, not only practicing accents from other countries. We live in this wonderful United States of America, and people from New York do not talk like people from Chicago. Don't talk like folks from the South. So you need to have all those accents down, because what if they tell you that they want you to play a role from the Mississippi Delta? How are you going to sound? How does it make you feel
like
the
it.
Person sound? See, you
yeah,
said that
my family didn't come from there. My family come from Chicago, so I will fail on that one.
No,
yeah.
You will not. No, you will not because if your agent sends you a breakdown and they say they need a woman that sounds from the Mississippi Delta, you will go online and learn how a woman from the Mississippi Delta sounds.
Okay. I can do that.
And
that's another thing for me to work on.
That's right. You can, and if they want somebody that's a hard New Yorker, you will go online and you will talk like a hard New Yorker, okay? And if they want somebody from Boston, I can't do a Boston accent now. You will talk like that. And Boston does not sound like New York. Let me get it straight.
No.
So you
right.
know that. So you will learn that. If you want the role. How important is it for you to get the role?
True.
That's the question, you know.
True.
And like you said, go online and practice the accent. And I am really surprised. And I have taken a voiceover class, and I've been doing radio forever. But I've learned through the voiceover classes, there are so many things. I mean, it's hard to do a commercial because certain things are dropped off in a voiceover. But I'm just surprised that they have not offered a class on accents.
Well, you have to look for them.
There are
studios that offer classes on accents. They're not offered as those type of classes are not offered as readily as some of the others, say like a voiceover class, because a lot of people don't realize that this is a tool that you need to have in your toolkit, and we as American actors should realize this because we have all these British actors that a lot of actors complain about they're taking our jobs. They're not taking our jobs. They are getting the jobs. They're getting their jobs because they are trained and they are studying our accents and they are duplicating them and they are booking the jobs. And
right.
we can do the same thing. We can study British accent, British jobs. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
It is a two-way street.
Yeah.
It's just like I did the audition for Viola Davis, the march that was filmed at the DuSable Museum. And I did, my uncle was the late civil rights Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, so I did a portion of him. I got the role. I was real excited because the march dealt with the civil rights of the 60s. And once I signed in, I went from the Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth to a white waitress behind the Woolworth counter. So I had to adjust myself a little bit. They put on this Elvis Presley wig on me and made me up and stuff. But I was the Woolworth's waitress. I accepted it for that because I know who I am and whose I am. But it's just amazing. I'm not taking anybody else's job. I auditioned for it and got the audition. And I didn't know the role that I would be playing until that day. You know, but you have to invest in your craft. And that's one thing Sandra and I both have been doing, investing in our craft, taking classes and stuff.
You know what I did, Ashley, this Sunday? Because I love First Wives Club, the movie. So I downloaded, I found the script, and I was going through it, and they were on point with every word. But I wanted to see how they act out the script. I had the script on the screen, and I was looking at the movie. And I was like, wow, because I, you know, just watching them act, Bette Midler, you know, and all of them. It was pretty nice, but you're right, you can find the script. You can practice. And I just wanted to see how do they do the movie, because I love the movie, so I've seen it a few times. And then I had the script in front of me, and I was excited to do that, you know.
And every role on there you could play. I mean, even though they chose, they meaning the cast director / director, chose to book white women. But there is not a role on there that you could not play.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Bette Midler, but they're just such good actresses, you know.
I have a question for Ashley from Jim in Florida. Jim, Jim says, I am originally from Chicago, and I have done some background work many years ago, but I am picking up bits and pieces here in Florida. I am interested and wanted to know information on what are some of the guidelines on being a SAG member?
Okay, well, the best thing I would say, because we could sit, that's a whole show in itself.
Yeah.
I would say Google SAG, how to become a SAG member or SAG after membership. The number one way is you book a SAG role. You're a non-union actor, or we like to call them in the union, we call you a pre-union actor, and you book a SAG role, And once you book a SAG role, because you don't have to join the union on your first role, you will be tapped Hartleek. And once you are tapped Hartleek, then you are eligible to become a member of the union if you choose. Now, this is what I tell everyone, and there's some more specifics and different ways, depending on what locale you live in. But I tell people, do not join the union until you are ready. I was pre-union for 15 years.
What?
My first SAG. That's right. My first. Well, it wasn't even. It was SAG. It was SAG then. Now we're SAG AFTRA. But my first SAG role was in my best friend's wedding. And that was in 1996.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I played and it was a wonderful experience. A lot of people don't have good experience with their first role, but mine was amazing. I played a singing, acting crazy catering chef. It was a group of us, about 10, 11 of us. And, but I chose not, well, first of all, I was SAG eligible, so that was a wonderful thing. But at that time, I was not gung-ho for joining SAG because I was living my acting dream. And I think that's the important thing for everyone, because everyone has different acting dreams. And at that time, I was doing children's theater, which I absolutely adore. And I was doing educational theater, and I was doing some non-union kind of traveling shows, and I was teaching, doing some theater teaching in the community, and so film and television just wasn't a big deal. I had done some background work, you know, and so I didn't, you know, say, oh my God. I mean, it was nice. I was more concerned. I'll be honest with you. At that time, I was more giddy about the money that I was getting for the SAG role. That was what excited me. When they told me, because back then it was like $700, like almost $800 for a day's work. I was like, really? Just for a day's work? Oh, my God. Are you serious? And I'll tell you, it was the craziest. I'll tell you, this is the most craziest story ever. So I was booked for one day, and that's called a day player.
Okay.
And, I was supposed to go out. We were shooting in some suburb. Oh, I don't know where it was. Well, it didn't matter because I didn't have a car anyway. But I saw if I could get there on the Metro train and the bus. I said, look, if I can get there, I can get home. I'll beg somebody to bring me back to the city because there's somebody on set that's coming back to the city. And it was a day that it was a night shoot. So my call time was like 4 or 5 o'clock. They said, this is what's going to happen. You know, we auditioned. I booked the role. Woo, 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 woo. You're going to, you know, sign my contract. You're going to go out there. You guys are going to do the role. And then, you know, you come back. So I got out there with Metro train and the bus, and I think I had like a half a mile to walk up this gravel road to actually get to set. Didn't care.
Oh, wow.
Somebody saw me on the gravel road and said, would you like a ride? I'm like, yes! And
I get in the car with, yes, I get in the car with strangers, okay?
Oh.
This was before Uber and Lyft when we get in the car with strangers on a regular basis. Yes, in 1996, I got in the car with strangers. Got to
set. The world might have been a little better.
Yeah, got to set, reported to set. Okay, they said, well, we're not ready for you guys. Go to a wardrobe. First he said, oh, you guys are going to be in this trailer. They had like two trailers for the 10 or 11 of us who were, had this role because it's a group of us. I said, okay, what's the trailer? Then they called us to wardrobe. Well, even though they had my measurements, they did not have, they had a chef coat for me, but they didn't have chef pants. Well, I've been doing stage for so long that I'm used to pulling my own costumes. Pulling my own costumes, bringing my own costumes, no big deal.
Right.
So they said, well, we probably won't call you because, you know, if you've been on a film or television set, you know a lot of times they run behind. They don't get to shoot all they're scheduled to shoot that day. So they said, so y'all just go back to your trailer. So and they said, well, we'll call you for, we'll call you when it's time for lunch. So we went back to our trailer. We were all chilling, getting to know each other. They called us for lunch. We didn't have lunch. Woo-woo. Okay, we'll sit us back to our trailer. Came in about, I guess, 5 o'clock that morning. Remember, this is overnight shoot. Said, okay, well, we didn't get to your scene today, so you guys come back the next day.
Oh,
yes! Two days. I'm like doing a happy dance, you know. But let me tell you, and I got a ride back to the city. As soon as I got a ride back to the city, I went to a uniform shop. Uniform to you on Irving Park.
Yeah.
And I purchased my own because the wardrobe mistress had said if you purchase your own, they were the check kind of, you know, cook pants. We'll reimburse you. I went and purchased some pants before I even went home. And did this. By then, I had already met somebody, so I already had a ride to set for that evening. So came back, gave her my pants, gave her my receipt. She gave me my $40. See, I remember it was $40. Gave me my $40 on set. I'm good. Donna, let me tell you something. This is sometimes how we lose. You know, I'm laughing about this, but the same thing happened to another guy, and he was big. I'm heavy set. He didn't come back to set the next day.
Oh,
because
no.
They did not have pants for him. He was an improviser. He had borrowed. This was his must join SAG, gig. And he had borrowed money, and he did not come back because they didn't have fans for him. Well, to make a long story short, this happened 5 days where they didn't use us. But they kept calling us back, and we kept getting paid for it, and we kept getting overtime.
And so I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question from Chicago, but go ahead and finish that one.
Okay, I'll finish this. To make a long story short, they called us to set. We got called to set 6 days. We were put on hold for 1 day, which means we got paid for 7 days, and we worked for 1 hour, the last hour of shooting of the movie. And the only reason we could work then is because they were losing darkness, and they had to shoot before the sun shot up. They knew it was the last day, and they had to get our opinion. Okay,
what
end of my
blessing.
Story.
Awesome.
That's a blessing.
I have a question from Chicago. I'm a background actress here in Chicago for Star Casting. I attended a workshop you did a couple of years ago down at the SAG office. Will you be hosting another workshop for non-union actors? We had a lot of questions that were answered. And also, my second question for Ms. Ashley is, do you have to be a SAG member to sit on the board of SAG? Good question.
Okay. I'll answer the second question. Yes. in order to sit on the board, you have to be a SAG-AFTRA member because it is an elected position. Okay. Now, two, the answer I want to say is yes. We haven't planned it yet. We were starting to plan something before this wonderful pandemic came. We're always trying to look for the right time when the shows are on hiatus. Well, the shows are on hiatus, but so is everybody's life on hiatus now. So when we can meet again, meet everyone, we hope to plan, and before the shows start up, we hope to have another meeting of both union and non-union background. And thank you so much for asking that question. The blessing Thanks. In Chicago is that we have been having so much work that there really has not been a time when there has been no work.
And
I was also going to say, for people who live across the country, that has been the case too. There used to be, oh, things are slow, you know, July is slow or something like that. But
right.
now we've got these, I call them mini series or short start shooting in, you know, June and July, when like the regular series that go from, say, August to April shut down.
Right.
And one of the reasons that is happening is because of with all the new platforms we have, these platform providers are hungry for content. They are absolutely starving for content. So really, this is a all year round business now. All year round. You know.
Yeah.
And the big name stars love it because they can shoot their main series, say, from August to March, and then they can do a movie or something, say, from April to June, and still go back and do their main series. And so, you know, they're getting tons of work. But it's great for those of us who are not famous, too, because we're getting tons of work, too. So that's a blessing.
That is a blessing. Well, we're coming to the end of our broadcast, and I know there's so many people that have questions on being SAG members and what qualifies you, but you did put that website out, and like you said, that's for another show, another time, and I have no problem bringing you back because people have questions about being a SAG member. They want to know who, what, and where. But I just want to take this time to thank you, Ashley, for being on In the Know with Mo with my co-host, Sandra Nelson.
Yeah, thank you. It was a blessing.
My studio is open anytime you want to come back to talk about anything. Because we need to
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I would be glad to come back. And for those of you who are out there, keep working on your craft. Keep working on your dream. Keep believing in yourself. It's going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you
so much.
Put the
work in. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, ladies. Thank you.